Welcome to Reconciled Church Miami, Pastor Aldo Leon.
So today I'm going to be in 1 Thessalonians 2, and I'm not going to read all the verses ahead. I'm going to read them as I go through them. Really, I just think that it's important. I have three sermons that were not out of a normal series to preach. I thought today it would be good to talk about the Christian leader. I think Christianity really, if you want to think about like, where does Christianity go on the ground? It's really goes so far as the leaders go. And one of the things you'll see regularly in the story of the church is Satan's always trying to discredit credible leaders and make illegitimate leaders credible. He's always trying to discredit legitimate guys and make illegitimate dudes credible. And that's why Timothy says, talking to Timothy as the pastor of the church of Ephesus at the time, watch yourself and your teaching, for in so doing, you will save yourself and your hearers. So basically, Paul is saying, where you're at, Timothy, is going to be where your church is at. This idea that every Christian is independently sustaining their spirituality, it's just not true. Paul says, who leads you is going to affect you. And it's in this particular church, there was a few things that were going on that made this conversation even more important. Number one, Paul did not spend a lot of time in this church. He had to go and leave really quickly because stuff got too dramatic there. Now, when Paul leaves a place because it's dramatic, it must be really dramatic, okay? Because he's just one of those tough dudes, you know? And also, there was a lot of resistance for the believers in Thessalonica. Or Nikia, if you ever want to say all Greeky like, Yanni's not here to make fun of my Greek pronunciations. And so, given like the short amount of time, and given like the difficulties, this conversation of who leads you, who guides you, is very important. And I think right now, what I want you guys to listen to today is in our particular day. I think what I see very, 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 very common right now is a lot of legitimate leaders are being discredited, and a lot of illegitimate leaders are being given a lot of credibility. And I want to open this text and be like, listen, who do you listen to? And where do you model your Christianity from? So here's the first thing. What is a gospel-centered leader? He is redemptively, I shouldn't have jumped out of my place. He is redemptively repetitive. He's redemptively repetitive. Look what it says. Let me, why did I do that? That's so, I had it open and then I just closed it. All right, give me a second. Maybe a few seconds. There it is. So look how many times Paul says gospel in chapter 2. Verse 2, we declare to you the gospel of God. Verse 4, we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Verse 8, so we were so affectionate, desirous of you that we were ready to share with you not only the gospel. Verse 9, you remember our hard labor and toil. We work night and day so we might not be a burden while we proclaim to you the gospel. How many times does Paul say preaching the gospel is what he did in a few sentences? 4 times. And I think we kind of think that being repetitive means you're not actually saying what you're supposed to say. But Paul is saying, I'm a true gospel preacher. And you know that because I'm being repetitive. Gospel of God, gospel of God. We preach the gospel, we preach the gospel, we practice, you know. We are necessarily repetitive if we are credible and legit. And so Paul is saying, listen, I am a gospel preacher. That's who I am. I'm not a race preacher. I'm not a politics preacher. I'm not a positive vibes preacher. I'm not a family values preacher. I'm not a social justice preacher. I'm not a behavioral preacher. I am a gospel preacher. All of my messages have blood all over them. Cross, atonement, resurrection, burial, ascension. My messages are gospel. They are good news. And what we should be known for is not that we're smart. Oh, that guy, he's so smart. It's not that we're eloquent. Man, he's got a way of speaking. It's not that we're relevant and passionate. We shouldn't be known for being controversial. We shouldn't be known for being funny. Oh, he's so funny. We shouldn't be known for being innovative or even be known for being nice. I'm not saying you shouldn't be nice, but we should be notorious for preaching about the gospel. That's what we should be known for. Why do you follow that guy? Why do you listen? Because he preaches clearly things about the life, death, burial, resurrection, ascension of Christ. That's why. Not he's interesting, engaging, and passionate, and smart, and educated. No, he's a gospel preacher. He's redemptively repetitive. And let me say this. You don't even listen to somebody because they preach the Bible. Paul does not say he preaches the Bible. Paul says, I preach the Bible, and within the Bible, with the Christ-centered center. You can preach the Bible all day long and not preach its central message and character. Paul doesn't even say, I preach theology. He says, I preach Christ-centered theology. Now, those are together. A leader is not somebody who ever preaches a message that does not demand the death of Jesus to be a part of that message. Jesus has to die or be his death is to be necessary for every single message. So a leader is not notorious. Oh, he's a hands-on, take charge guy. He is redemptively repetitive. Let me say why. why does he do this? You know why? Because you're not a good person. I'm not a good person. That's why. You're not a good person. You don't need to believe in yourself. You need to believe in a good person who died for bad people. That's why we're repetitive. You're not good. You're not okay. So the assumption, if you are not experiencing redemptive repetitiveness, is we are right. Just tell us advice. Tell us tips, how to's. But if we are not all right, even we as Christians, we struggle with sin. We need a redemptive, repetitive leader who does not move beyond that for Christians, beloved, for Christians. The gospel is for Christians and non-Christians. But here's the second thing I see. A legitimate leader understands costly dependence. Costly dependence. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our visit was not without results. On the contrary, after we had previously suffered and we were treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know, we were emboldened by our God to speak the gospel of God to you in spite of great oppositions. So, in Philippi, you know what happened to Paul? He was doing the gospel ministry, and he got beat up with rods and thrown in jail. And this is what he was going through before he came to this church. And then in Thessalonica, you know what happened when Paul was doing ministry? A riot in the town, okay? And more people got beat up. Where Paul preached the gospel, there was riots and fights, okay? And Paul is saying, listen, I did not preach the gospel to you because it wasn't costly. I did not preach the gospel to you because it was convenient. It was costly for me to lead you. Very costly. And you know, one of the reasons, it's interesting when you listen to like pastors' resumes, it's usually a lot of great things they've done and not a whole lot of costly Christianity that trusted Jesus through. And you know what's interesting? When Paul would actually give his resume, he would talk about how difficult things were and impossible and how God sustained him through him as his kind of resume to people. But here's what happens with Christian leaders. They don't understand the need for a costly dependence. You know what they do? They're always playing it safe and being political and pragmatic because they don't want to be in a very costly, hard place to do ministry. So they're always walking on eggshells and saying the right thing to the right person so they don't cause a riot like Paul, okay? But beloved, what we're learning here is a gospel leader is so secure in the gospel that they can be scandalous when they need to be. They can lose friends. They can be backstabbed. They can be chased out of towns. They can experience all sorts of slander and false accusations. They can lose family even because it is costly to be a leader of the gospel to God's people. It is not convenient. It is not pragmatic. It is very costly. Just like our Lord's salvation was very costly. It cost him everything. It cost him his life. And listen, the more you embrace the fact that Christianity and leading people is costly, the more you will need Jesus to be a leader. The more you reject Christianity being costly and you look for easy places to be about the gospel, the more you will just need yourself to do gospel ministry and not the gospel to do gospel ministry, because you're always looking for some uncostly situation to live in. And beloved, remember, when we're talking about Christian leaders, we're not just talking about what they do. We're talking about who you should be imitating. And I want to ask you, how costly is your Christianity in the place where you're trying to be influential? Is it ever really inconvenient and difficult and unpragmatic and just tends to be a Christian? It's very likely that you haven't understood that there's a costliness to this thing that you need to embrace and look to Jesus in. It is costly. And you know what? Right now, I feel like one of the things that I'm noticing in our day is that everybody is trying to somehow, because of pandemic, create a Christianity that is not costly. Guess what? It's nowhere in the Bible. It's nowhere in the Bible. There is no religion in the Bible where we don't experience a cost to this thing. Christianity is dangerous. And safetyism and pragmaticism, those are other religions that have nothing to do with our thing. Christianity is costly, and leading a church is costly. You cannot avoid that. Simply is that. Here's the third thing I see. Is a gospel leader has arrived already in Jesus and is not seeking to advance in themselves. It's arrived already in Jesus, not seeking to advance in themselves. Look what it says in verse 3. For our exhortation didn't come from error or impurity or an intent to deceive. So basically, I wasn't preaching these kind of bait and switch messages. I was just being honest. Instead, just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Listen to me. Paul is saying, I've been approved by God so I can manage the gospel. So I have to have this approval by God first so I can do gospel ministry. If I'm not doing gospel ministry from my approval in the gospel, what's that? Jesus, 33 years of perfect obedience for me. Jesus' death for all of my sin, his burial and resurrection where he gets the amen, righteous verdict of perfect on my behalf. If I'm not living in the approval of the gospel, I cannot lead people in the gospel. You gotta be having, you arrived already in Jesus. You're not arriving in your ministry. And here's a picture that may be helpful. If you get an A before you take a test, guess what happens? You're not all scared and paranoid anymore. You're not inclined to want to, cheat and do some shady stuff anymore. And you're not prideful because you got an A. Beloved, if a Christian leader is trying to get an A from Christian ministry, he will always be scared, anxious, insecure, and controlling because he's trying to arrive by the ministry he does. You have to be living out of the A that you have gotten already in history by Jesus' perfect life, death, and resurrection. You live from that, but if you try to get a passing grade by what you do in ministry, you will always be the insecure person who can never hear anything from anybody because you're trying to be saved by ministry. You're trying to be approved by ministry. And everyone has to walk on eggshells to not bother the anointed and saying anything wrong about him. And we can't bother him either because he's too busy trying to prove himself. That's what happens when a minister is not being approved in the gospel first. Listen. You don't do ministry to please God first. Listen to me. You do ministry because you are pleasing to God in the gospel. Because You are pleasing to God already in the Son's pleasures, and you are united to Him, and He is pleased for Jesus. Then you seek to please God. We have the approval that we need. We have the approval that we need. Now, let me ask you something. Are you living from the arrival that you already have in Jesus and the approval that you already have in God? Or are you trying to find that in something that you are arriving at? And here's a test to see if you haven't figured this out yet, or you're not living in it in a really healthy way. Are you really hard to talk to you about sin? When someone begins to talk to you about sin, are you hard to talk to? Do you always have a reason why it's not sinful? Wait a second, but do people feel like they have to walk on eggshells around you all the time? And unless they're your perpetual fan giving you props and likes, it's hard to be around you. Guess what? It's very likely that you're not living in the arrival that you already have in Jesus, but you're trying to get some kind of arrival by your Christianity. And you know what? You're hard to be around because you're trying to make yourself the good news instead of living from the good news that you have in Christ. So, beloved, we live in a day right now where everyone's offended all the time. You know why? Everyone's offended all the time. Why? Because everyone's trying to arrive in themselves and not be already arriving in Jesus. That's why you're always offended. It's not, oh, it's because people are just not conscientious and they're just not nice. No, because you're trying to arrive in you. And Paul says, I have approved by God, not me, so I can be entrusted with the gospel. A gospel leader has arrived in Jesus, not in their gospel ministry. But here's the third point. Who should be leading you now and in these times and beyond? He's not for hire. A gospel-centered leader is not for hire. Let me read the text. So we speak not to please men, but rather God, okay? Who examines our hearts. For listen, we never use flattering speech. Paul said, I never spoke in a way where I wanted to flatter you, okay? As you know, or had greedy moments, God is our witness, and we did not seek glory from people, from you or from others. Basically, Paul is saying, listen, I wasn't for hire for you, Thessalonians. I was not for hire. I did not speak for you first. I wasn't trying to make you feel good first. I was first speaking to God, and whether they honored and glorified God, not you. One of my favorite pictures of a negative picture, but you can flip it to be positive, is of the Joker. Remember the Joker? How many in this place are familiar with the Joker and the new Batman? Most of you, right? So at the end of the movie, you know what Joker does? All the mobs give his money. He burns all the money. He's like, all you criminals, you do this for money. I do this because I love chaos. I'm not for hire criminals, all y'all. And obviously, if you flip that, that's us. We don't do gospel ministry because we want a good package, a good paycheck, a bunch of fans. We want a bunch of, nice people parading us around. We don't do it because we want to be famous. We do it because God deserves the glory, and we speak about things in a way that is about Him. It's God's gospel. It's God's church. And we labor first for what God wants, not what you want. But the last thing I need to do to care for you is to ask you what you want me to do. And sadly, we're living more and more in a day where this is actually seen as being a good thing. A pastor being so concerned with what everybody thinks about the race combo, about the pandemic combo, obsessed because I'm such a loving guy. Paul said, I did not lead you like that.
I didn't speak to flatter you and to keep you happy. I spoke because the gospel compels me to speak, not for hire, but because I've been hired by the gospel. I've been hired by the gospel. It means you can't hire me to speak about something that you want to speak about that's not gospel-centered. Beloved, a true minister can be the bad guy when he needs to be the bad guy for righteousness. And he can be the good guy when no one wants him to be the good guy. A true minister can make his wife uncomfortable when she's in the wrong. You know what happens a lot of times to men who lead churches? You know why their churches burn to the ground? Because they're making their wives happy half the time. And the sheep are hurting for that. You could make your wife uncomfortable. You can make your family uncomfortable. You can even make your friends uncomfortable. You know why? Because you're not for hire. You're not for hire. You have been hired by the Christ of the gospel, and you don't need to be bribed by that family gives a lot of money, and that family has a lot of clout, and that family. No, I cannot be hired by those things because I've been hired by Jesus. And guess what? You didn't die for me. None of you in this room or this field died for me. You know who died for me? The Lord, which means I got to answer to him. Now, if you want to make a case for why you who didn't die for my rescue can hire me to live for what makes you happy, then I think we could have a really interesting conversation. Beloved, a true gospel minister would rather be fired by a church than do one thing for the sake of making men happy at the expense of God's glory. If you are not willing to lose your ministry position for the gospel, then you should not have a ministry position. And I'm saying all this to saying you need to hold me accountable to this. Not like, oh, I'm just preaching a message. Hold me accountable. And now you got other elders that are, you know, leading with me that you can say, hey, Pat, Mike, hold your boy accountable, man. I think he's tripping over there. I think he's becoming like a people's politician. Hold me accountable to everything I'm saying. But also, beloved, I would want to say this. Don't ever follow a man who is for hire. Do not ever follow a man who speaks something because he's catering to the mob or the moment or the crowd. Do never follow a guy like that. They will lead you into catastrophe. Never hire a guy who's more in love with his ministry and what he's built than what Jesus has built apart from his ministry. And I would say to you, beloved, do not be for hire. Don't let nobody prostitute you. Don't let nobody pimp you out. No, you're not for hire. You've been hired by Jesus. Nobody can hire you for humanistic causes. It's one of the things that I find myself saying a lot as a leader in these days is people are saying, hey, are you going to be about this? Are you going to be about this, Aldo? Are you going to talk about this? Are you going to do this? It's like, I'm not for hire. I'm not for hire. I know one time, I went through a really hard transition a few years ago about my theology. And the people were talking to me and said, you should be loyal to us. You should be loyal to us. You should be loyal to your funders. You should be loyal to your supporters. Not for hire. Not for hire, beloved. We've been hired by the Jesus who lived and died for us. The second that you become for hire, you will be a slave to every single new promotion that someone has given you. And it never ends. But here's a third thing or fourth thing. A gospel-centered leader is a provider, not just a demander. Although we could have been a burden as Christ's apostles. So basically, we could have took a whole lot from y'all if we wanted. Instead, we were gentle among you, as a nursing mother nurtures her own children. Now, when you think nursing mother, think this. A mother is just supposed to provide. You don't get anything from the nursing baby, okay? You provide and you secure. Paul is saying, listen, my job as a pastor was to secure and provide for you, not be this guy who's always demanding something from you to lead you. Think of a nursing mother. So guess what? A true gospel minister is not saying, y'all should be holy He should be giving you grace, giving you the milk of the gospel that makes you holy, not just demanding holiness. A true minister of the gospel should not be demanding that you give money to church over and over again. Should be giving you the grace of the gospel and the riches of Christ that compels you to be secure in that milk that wants to give to him. A minister of the gospel is not always demanding that people serve more. Some ministers make an entire career of making the church serve. No, a true minister is connecting the bride of Christ with the sacrificial one-way service of the King in such a way that gives them the milk they need to be secure and want to serve. That's a gospel leader. He's not always demanding humility, demanding allegiance, demanding this. He is humbling them by connecting them with the milk and safety of the gospel. This is what Paul does. He provides, he gives all the things that God's people need to be nourished and secure so they can then respond to God. Now, I think that here's an example that I think is encouraging. Not encouraging, but helpful. So I heard Facebook is a great place to hang out, right? So I was on Facebook and I was noticing a lot of pastors were posting things like this. And this is what they were saying. Don't bother your pastors. Don't question them. Don't challenge them. They're really stressed right now. Paul's like, I wasn't in this place saying, leave me alone. Do this, do this, do this, do this. I was the mom giving you milk when you was over there hungry. That's what I was doing. And so this is why I said, stop telling your sheep how to act and give them what they need how to act. Give them the gospel. Give them nourishment. Give them encouragement so that they can have what they need from their pastor, not just be guilted and being demanded what they should do for their pastor. That is a leader. That is a leader. He gives, secures what is necessary. I remember as a young man, I had a lot of guys that tried to lead me that way. They were like, you're prideful. Be humble. You're rough. Be soft. You're this, be that. And thank God that he put people in my life that stopped demanding things from me and started giving me the things that I needed as a baby to receive Christ. It's like, oh, you should love your wife. Oh my gosh, an epiphany from heaven. I'm supposed to love my wife. Give me the love of Jesus that compels me to love. That's what you need to do. Every pagan on the planet knows that they're supposed to be nice, but we can't. We can't be God glorifying nice. Beloved, let me give you another example of this. This is what happens a lot of times in church. New believers come in, and the older believers are like, gosh, look at those people. Look at how they're talking. Did you hear what they said? Did you hear so many F-bombs they said? Look at those pictures they posted. And you know what? These people are usually the people that are doing zero to help them grow. Let me get a little into it. Keep your mouth shut if you're not providing the gospel to those women to grow or men to grow. You need to be a provider, not just a demander. Keep your mouth shut and let other people do the gospel ministry. Why? Because this is what leaders do. This is what Christians do. We give. We give. We provide. We don't just say, look at them. Look at what they lack. You understand my intensity? Same thing in the home. Men always complain about their wives. What are you doing to give her the gospel? Women always complain about their husbands. He don't do this. He don't do that. What are you doing? If you're not giving that person gospel, then be quiet. Because gospel ministry is about people who are so secured by the life-giving milk of Jesus, death and resurrection, that they see the need to provide and secure people and not just bark, bark, bark about what you demand, demand, demand. That's a gospel leader. Let me tell you something. I say to men, God never told you to tell your wife to submit to you. He told her that. He told you to love her. I preach to the choir here, okay? Provider, not demander. I have a few more points. A true gospel leader gives his life, not just merely lessons. He gives us life, not just merely lessons. We cared so much for you that we were pleased to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives. Because you have become so dear to us. Listen, Paul's not saying, I love you so much, man, I was pleased to give you sermons, classes, Zoom, you know, Zoom meetings, and obviously he couldn't do a Zoom meeting. I was so pleased to give you, you know, recorded meetings and a space on the calendar. He said, I love you so much that I wanted to be with you, not just give you a lesson or a sermon. Why? Because that's what Jesus not just give us messages from heaven. He gives us the incarnation. He takes on flesh now and then and forever. And he sends the Spirit of God to indwell us. He is a near life with us, God. And he's saying, this is how a man of God leads the church. This is how a man of God leads a church to the glory of God. So it's watch me in my home with my kids screaming and my wife giving me the look. Watch me process sin as I'm in traffic and I'm in the pulpit. Watch me in my crying and my laughter. Let's connect the gospel to each other in dinners and in Sunday mornings. Learn from me at the park with my kids and learn from me in the class with the Bible. Why? Why? Because it works? If you do that, you'll ministry better. No, because you're so dear to me. You're so dear to me. That's why I do it. It's like, you know, a pastor goes to visit somebody in a hard moment. The pastor, oh, thank you so much for your visit. It's like you want to be there. It's not like you're checking a box off the list. Beloved, this flies in the face of our idea of pastor in this moment. You know what a pastor is for a lot of people? It's some guy on a TV screen who records a message. Let me tell you something. A guy on a TV screen is not your pastor. The Apostle Paul, the apostle was like, as an apostle, like, I'm like, ain't nobody doing Christianity like me ever, probably, I would say. I was with you. So a man that is not with his people, but simply floats in to give a pep talk is not a pastor. You should never follow someone like that. And they say, well, there's a campus pastor there. Well, guess what? Then he should be preaching to those people that he's with. We don't need the celebrity. Fly in and give the inspirational. We need a man who is with the people. He smells like sheep as he preaches in the pulpit. He cries with them. He's with them. He loves to be with them as normal life. He's not just a pulpiteer giving a great 40-minute message, and then he goes back into his secluded closet. Beloved, right now, I say this. I cannot be your pastor if I am going to hide behind a TV screen. I have to be with you. Okay? When Paul says, I have to be with the people of God to shepherd them, there is no corona footnote. I cannot pastor you by recording a message of me and saying, here, listen to it. I have to be with you because I want to, no matter what. And if you don't want to be with me, that's fine. But I will be here. Why? Because that's what the gospel compels us to do. And I talk to a lot of times to young guys. I said to Santi a bunch of times. I say it to Yanni. I said, listen, we have enough men in the church who love to preach the Bible. We have up to here enough men who love to preach the Bible, but cannot be with God's people in normal moments. We don't need you. We don't need you. All respect. We need men who want to lead in the pulpit and in the table, in the pulpit and in the playground, in the pulpit and everywhere else. We have enough pulpiteers. And by the way, Jesus was not a pulpiteer. He didn't float around the sky and make appearances. He was with people. He was with them. We don't need no more celebrities making appearances. Listen, if my Savior came near to me to rescue me, and you're supposed to represent him. That don't work if you're always far away all the time, and you always got some meeting to go to, something. That's just not. Like, a lot of times, people tell me, "Oh, I don't want to bother the pastor. You know, he's so busy. You're his job. You're his job. And if he can't do that, then he's not doing his job. And go find someone who is." Why? Because we learn and we are led from people who represent what God has said a leader is. Thank you, Pastor, for giving me an hour in your calendar. No, beloved, we are pleased to preach the gospel to you and give you our life. Now, obviously, everyone's not going to experience that in the same way, but in some sense, it should be experienced. Here's my last point. Delighted. A true pastor gives people delighted direction. Delighted direction. DD, all right? It's helpful to remember. As you know, like a father with his own children, we encouraged, we comforted, and implored each one of you to walk worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So here's the interesting. The first picture is mom, secure, 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 secure. The second picture is dad, go, 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 walk, run, adventure. Now, Paul is saying that a leader does both of that. That means that you can't just be nurturing and giving and providing and securing. And you can't just be go, 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 run, take adventures, take risks, go out and walk worthy. You have to be securing and making safe and providing and then calling and to them adventure and direction. And guess what? It says, Paul is saying, I called you to live and do things as a father, not as a CEO over his employees, not as a celebrity with his fans. Okay? That happens a lot in Miami. The pastors are celebrities with fans. Not as a celebrity with fans, not as a therapist with a patient, not as a teenager with his friends, not as a prince over such as, but as a dad with his kids. That's a, you know what that, I mean, obviously it's hard for us because a lot of us have bad dad experiences. And so when I talk about mom and dad and stuff, you're kind of like, but if we understand fatherhood from the greatest father, it's basically the idea that God is looking at us. Just think about this. Think about at the park. You're saying, God, son, I love you. I love you. I treasure you. I like you. Now go over there and get some bruises and scratches and run and play. I love you. Go. That's what a pastor does. I love you. And you know what? Christ loves you. Go now. Take risks and adventures and run in the name of God. As you're secure, you're sent out. Now, I think something that happens a lot of times in the church is we just like to just do one or two of these things. Some of you are just the adventurer, always running on an adventure, and some of you always just want to be secured, but we need to be both. But here's one thing that I think is really important to consider. Millennials like to talk about things all the time and do nothing. Right? I could say, let's talk about peace in the world and do nothing. Let's talk about injustice all day long and do nothing. And you know what? That happens in the church. Let's talk about the gospel all day long and just sit here and keep talking about the gospel. Let's talk about the love of God all day long and go nowhere. But Paul is saying, listen, as you get that milk, dad sends you out to walk and do specific things. So a leader that doesn't just give you God, like gospel, yes, understand, great. There is a direction. There is a goal. There is an application. There's a reality. It is feeding you with gospel and directing you to take risk with gospel. Both of those. If you don't know where you're supposed to go with the gospel preacher's gospel, then it's probably likely that he's doing too much momming and not enough dadding at the same time. He is someone who gives us delighted direction. Listen, I'll give you one last picture to close. You know why? There's multiple reasons, but you know why a lot of kids spend most of the day on their iPads in their house? My guess is one of the reasons it's easier, but another reason is it's safe. And you know what? There was a time when kids would run around and fall out of trees and get in fights with neighborhood kids and, you know, cut their knees open and sweat. There was a time when kids actually went out to do things and they weren't just stuck to their iPad in a secure place. Now, why am I saying that to you? I'm not trying to talk about parenting. I'm saying that our Christianity should look more like the kids running around and getting hurt all day long as kids, and less like we're just safe in the gospel with our gospel iPad in our little circle, okay? Why? Because we get secured by God to run out and adventure and live in a manner for his glory. Instead of just staying stuck in the security endlessly, we have to be secured and we have to go out and adventure. So hopefully this whole conversation is helpful and helping you consider who leads you and who you're led by and what you should seek to imitate as you are led. Let me pray and move us to the Lord's table. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are the great shepherd and your son is the one who you sent to shepherd us. And as he shepherds us with grace, as he shepherds us with his power and his word in the Spirit, we then can, in trusting and being led and cared for by you, we can then lead others in a way that connects them to the way you lead us. So, Father, help us to understand the credibility that is biblically credible about leadership, and help us to understand what is not credible but is being sold as credible. And in another way, I say, Lord, help us to understand how those who lead us must be led by the gospel and informed by the gospel. In your name, amen.
That concludes our message, and we hope that you were inspired by it. If you'd like to hear more about the gospel or find out more about Reconciled Church Miami, please connect with us using one of the ways listed on our website, reconciledchurchmiami.org.